show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rutland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, New England Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
1-2. Strike three. He struck out the side. A dominating performance by the Boston Red Sox tonight. The pitching staff, it's a staff of two in this game. Sale and Kimbrel, and the Red Sox have made it seven in a row.
I wish they could all be like that. Welcome into the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati tonight. Marshall Hook alongside as well. Executive producer Jimmy Stewart behind the glass alongside Billy Lanny. And you at 617-779-0985. Jimmy, you can open up the phone lines. You want to join the Baseball Reporters here until 7 o'clock tonight. And we'll start tonight by looking back at last night's 2-0 Red Sox win over the Tampa Bay Rays. Another dominant performance by Chris Sale. One that really shouldn't have been all that surprising, as you just had to figure that he was going to be pissed off about his prior start against Cleveland last week, where he gets shelled. And that's exactly what that's what he was. You got angry Chris Sale last night. And an angry Chris Sale has proven to be a filthy Chris Sale. And he allows two hits, strikes out 13 in eight innings. Red Sox win their seventh straight, and they continue to roll. If you look at just the 10-game sample, hottest team in baseball, 8-2. Yankees lose again last night. They continue to struggle at the plate. They drop four games back at the Red Sox American League East. As I have said on the afternoon show, I don't want to say it's a lock for the Red Sox to take the division until after this week. The series with Tampa, more importantly, New York, who is 6-3 against the Red Sox this year. But if they can take that series with New York, to me, look, you look at it just mathematically, they're effectively going to end up burying them, and I think they'll lock up the East. Jimmy, I know you still disagree. You think a September swoon is still a coming like it's 2011.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yankees, I love the moves that they made at the trade deadline, but so far they've really gotten nothing out of them, specifically with Sonny Gray and Jaime Garcia. They're having issues at the plate. But I'm with you, Jimmy. I understand when you're dug in, you're dug in. But all I need is this week. Specifically, though, Chris Sale is what I want to focus on for this first segment and get some of your thoughts on him, because there's a couple of things about him that are bugging me about him, not as a player at all. He's lived up to everything that I thought you would get with Chris Sale here. What bugs me about him is that I think that overall, as an athlete in this town, he's underappreciated, other than the hardcore seamheads and Red Sox fans that are tuning in. But I thought it was going to be somewhat comparable to the old Pedro starts. Maybe I'm just living in the past a little bit too much. And sure, there was more flair and there was just more character and personality that came with Pedro Martinez. That's what made him one of the all-time greats here. But just from a filth standpoint, and I mean that in the most positive way possible, just from what you get from the stuff with Chris Sale and how he makes opposing offenses look like complete fools, like he did to a pretty good Tampa lineup last night, I think he's underappreciated. And that bugs me, because Chris Sale events start should be events. Excuse me. They should feel like events. And last night, to me, was must-see television. And I just, maybe it's more of a baseball thing, but overall, I think Chris Sale's kind of underappreciated. And that leads me to my bigger issue, which, you know, it's one of the commandments of the Felger and Maz show, but I'm going to do it anyway because I can already see this happening. I think he's going to end up underappreciated by the baseball writers, the Lodge, the BBWAA, and when it comes to the MVP voting. Because, to me, it's a no-brainer. Chris Sale is the MVP of the American League. And if Aaron Judge continues his second half swoon here, you don't have to worry about him contending for the AL MVP. Jose Altuve in Houston, you look at his numbers, that's going to end up probably being the guy. What he's been doing is sustainable, or at least it seems that way. Leads the league in batting average, hits, doubles, OBP, bases, war, if you're into that nerd stat. But he's played himself into one of the league's premier players. And it's about position players with the voters time and again. And it's happened before. They will vote for MVP and guys will win it as pitchers, but it just feels like that only happens in down years. In the American League, the last guy you can go to is Justin Verlander. And this was a column that was actually put up by our own Matt Dolliff on CBSBostonSports.com. And he talks about how Verlander benefited from an American League that featured a lot of offensive seasons, but few clear MVP candidates. Curtis Granderson, Robinson Cano, Mark Teixeira, even Jacoby Ellsbury, who had a 30-30 season, but probably got knocked a bit because of the whole chicken and beer fiasco. So it seemed like it was a weak class. This year, like, it's Altuve, Mike Trout, now that he's back, it's probably going to be in the conversation as well. But he's ultimately going to get hosed, I think, by these writers because, well, he's not a position player. And I hate that they hold that against him. And for anyone that is going to leave him off and not vote for him, I wonder if they're the same people that voted for Mike Trout last year, who ultimately ended up winning it, on a terrible Anaheim team. So, because to me, as good of a season that Trout had, well, it shouldn't matter because he was on a terrible team that didn't compete and didn't make the playoffs. Chris Sale, without Chris Sale, Marshall, without Chris Sale, the Red Sox are a third-place team. They're not going to make the playoffs.
He is, I mean, this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. He is clearly, far and above away, the highlight of this team. This team, I mean, without him, who was your ace? Eduardo Rodriguez? Drew Pomerantz?
Probably Drew Pomerantz.
Yeah, I mean, that is not a team that's contending. He leads the American League in wins. He leads the American League in strikeouts. He leads the American League in ERA. I mean, and those are all, to some degree or another, very important statistics that kind of give you an idea of what he's doing. He's getting the wins, which I understand can be kind of a odd statistic for a pitcher sometimes. But in his case, they're clear. I mean, like last night is clear. He earned that win. That was not some win where he gave up six runs, but the team scored 10. No, he held a team down to zero runs, and then the closer comes in and closes the door. That was his win. Far and away, because the offense didn't give him much help, just the barely little amount that he needed. So, yeah, I absolutely think he is the most valuable player on this team, and I have a hard time looking at any other team. I mean, the Houston offense is not built around Jose Altuve. He is a core to it, but they have hitters up and down the lineup, and they've got pitching pretty well, too. I think the Red Sox, and I am one of these guys, like you, who believes that the MVP needs to come from a winning team, or at least a team that was in it down the very stretch, yeah. Right? The Mike Trout winning it for the Angels, then just make it, I mean, then what's the Hank Aaron Award? Isn't the Hank Aaron Award the award for the best hitter? Is that what the MVP now is, the best hitter? It shouldn't be. If you're on a last place team, I'm sorry. Unless there is no other candidate anywhere, and I don't know, you hit 90 home runs, you're not winning the MVP. Last year, it should have been Mookie Betts. Clear to me, as day, because there was a debate between the two, and one of them was on a team that won a division and one wasn't. That's Chris Sale this year.
Yeah, that thing will always bug me. Look, Mike Trout, wonderful player. Probably the best all-around player in baseball. You hear that? Everyone pretty much agrees with that, okay? Or he's like in that top three. But last year, he shouldn't have been the MVP. Marshall, you're 100% right. It has to be. The MVP has to me, come from a team that is in playoff contention, makes the playoffs. Even if they don't end up, you know, they're in it till the last week or two. I thought it was asinine that it was Mike Trout off Anaheim.
I mean, if the Angels were in it in mid-September and really fighting and he was, then yeah, fine, give them the MVP. They weren't. They were a last-place team, or actually I think they were a second-to-last-place team, but they were not a contending team.
Yeah. So, again, you look at the current pace that Sale's on. He's on track to go 20-6, 319 strikeouts. So that will get him MVP votes. But, again, I just, you know how these guys end up voting, and Houston is a lock already with their record. No one's going to end up coming close to them in that division. So Altuve, he's probably going to end up winning it, and I think that sucks. Because, again, if you extrapolate Chris Sale from this rotation and this team, as Marshall points out, so who's your number one ace in the playoffs? Is it going to be Drew Pomeranz, Eduardo Rodriguez? This would be a third-place team. They would not make the playoffs. It is Chris Sale. He's going to get hosed. And, yes, I'm already mad about something that hasn't happened yet, but you watch. He will get screwed here by the BBWAA when it comes to MVP votes, because it should be him. And just the other thing, too, with fans, like, are you maybe taking this guy for granted a little bit? Because I get the feeling that people are. There should be more buzz for Chris Sale. Just eye test alone on this pitcher. He's the best starting pitcher the Red Sox have had since Pedro Martinez. And I don't think that's hyperbole to say. John Lester, fantastic. Josh Beckett, Curt Schilling, you know, they all had great stretches. But they didn't have that it that you got with Pedro Martinez and that you get with Chris Sale, like just that wow factor. And
intimidation.
And this is a guy, much like Pedro, who's not intimidated by the spotlight, by the American League East. And I also like, as much as we have dogged, all of us collectively here, whether it's the baseball reporters or certain shows on this station, we've dogged the manager. Pushing back Chris Sale's start,
So, like last night, it was a good call by John Farrell, and now he's going to get the Yankees three times. So, very important here because he is the MVP, not just of the Red Sox, but of the American League. Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985 as we talk Sox here in the Baseball Reporters.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Radio.com.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First call tonight will be Chuck in South Boston. Good evening, Chuck. Hi.
What's up, Jimmy? How you doing, bud?
Good. What's going on?
Good. So, two quick points. My first point is every time you say BBWAA, all I can think of are my lonely...
Beautiful women have at it, but we don't need to get into those calls here in the Baseball Reporters. Everyone has their thing. Mike in the car, you're next on Chris Sale. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, man? You're the man.
I have my mom.
I wanted to know, Chris Sale, right? Mm-hmm. He's striking out 10 batters, like, average a game. Is he going to break the all-time record, and who has that?
I don't know. Marsh, you want to go look that up real quick?
What's that?
He's on pace for something ridiculous like 319 strikeouts. I don't know what the record is for a season.
I believe it's 383, but let me check.
I believe the Red Sox record is 313 by Pedro Martinez.
Oh, the Red Sox record. All right.
Dylan and Marblehead.
That's the Red Sox record.
First two calls have been somewhat brutal here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Dylan, hopefully, will... be better.
Okay.
Hey, Murray, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Dylan?
So, hey, I want to kind of disagree with you. First of all, I think you're right. Sale's going to get hosed on the MVP, and it's kind of BS. I think he deserves it. And, you know, I bartend at nights, and the second, you know, when Sale's starting, the music goes off and the sound goes on the TV. I mean...
Is it typically... Is it a sports bar you're working at, or is it just like your everyday type of bar?
Yeah, it's a sports bar, kind of dive sports bar, but usually music's playing. But, you know, Sale comes on, and, man, he's just so much fun to watch. He's so quick and so dirty and, as you said, filthy in a good way.
Awesome. Have you noticed on ice that he's pitching that more people are coming in, though?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I stand correctly. Maybe I got to stand corrected on this because I just feel like, in talking to my friends, maybe it's because we're getting older. I just know, like, when I was in the prime of, you know, being psychotic about the Red Sox, 99, going back to my late teens, early 20s, like, I don't care if I had plans or a date. I was not missing a Pedro Martinez start. And granted, there was more personality that came with that player. There was more flair. You never even know if he was going to end up beaning someone. You're going to get a brawl, especially in those games against Tampa, of all teams. You always felt like you might miss something special. And I think the same thing is going on with Chris Sale right now. If you don't tune into a Chris Sale start, you might miss something special. Seth in Taunton says he has a thought on Aaron Judge. What's up, Seth?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to tune in on the Yankees here. Mm-hmm. You and Jimmy Stewart are insane. If you think that team is going to overtake the Sox at this point, maybe early in the year, but they just sat Gary Sanchez because of bad defense. Aaron Judge is... sucked, absolutely sucked since the All-Star break. Their pitching beyond Severino is kind of garbage.
Yep.
And Sabathia, an old guy with a bad knee, is their second best pitcher. Like, I other than Stewart's just hard on for getting swooned in September, what's the actual
reason? How's Xander Bogaerts hitting?
How's Xander Bogaerts hitting?
Yeah, how's he doing since the All-Star break?
Not great. What did he do the other night? He got a couple hits in a row?
Seth, to your point, look, this take for me saying that the Yankees won the division with the moves that they made at the trade deadline, which I was confident in, I'm hanging on by a thread here. I still need this week. I want to see how they perform in this series because the Yankees, despite all their flaws, have done very well against the Red Sox this year.
Sonny Gray better be Chris Sale if they're going to come back and win the division.
Right. I know, and that rotation has looked like complete ass, and he mentioned Aaron Judge's numbers in the second half. To say that he has struggled in the second half would be a bit of an understatement. I knew he's been being bad, but like he'd been playing bad rather, but it's not like I'm watching Yankee games. I'll pay attention to the highlights, and I obviously want to know, you know, how they're doing considering, you know, it's them and the Red Sox for this division. He is hitting 175 with five home runs in 96 plate appearances. since the All-Star game.
How's Mitch Moreland hitting since the All-Star break?
Jimmy, this outside, I'm with you. The Red
Jackie
Sox.
Jackie Bradley Jr., Hanley, should I go on?
And this is my concern about the Red Sox, is that lineup. It's mostly, to me, a bunch of singles hitters, and it's why I have a concern there. But Aaron Judge has been a mess. I don't know if it has anything to do with the home run derby. Gasper, who I was on with on Saturdays, he's convinced that that ruined his swing. It just looks like there's a lack of plate discipline. I watched the highlights of last night's game against Toronto, and I think it was the second or third at-bat. J.A. Happ got the start for Toronto. 3-2 fastball right down the pipe, and Judge just kind of looked at it. And I keep reading about how his plate discipline is off, or maybe his swing has changed since, and hey, maybe it got screwed up because of the home run derby, but something is off with that guy. That's someone I don't think you're going to have to worry about with the MVP conversation anymore when it comes to Chris Sale. Jose Altuve, though, that's who's going to end up beating him out, unless there's a swoon for him, too. But you watch, he'll get screwed on this.
And what will be the reason that people will give? What is the reason you hear all the time about starting pitchers versus...
Oh, he only plays every 5 days.
All right, so here's my number for you. I've boiled it down to an exceedingly simple number for you. Jose Altuve versus Chris Sale to this point in the season right now. Chris Sale has faced 627 batters. So that's the equivalent of an at-bat for a pitcher, right?
Yep.
I earlier said pitcher, number of pitches thrown. That's fine. We'll go to batters faced. 627. Jose Altuve has 478 plate appearances. So to this point in the season, Chris Sale is what? 150 plate appearances ahead of Jose Altuve. I think he's got that much more effect. Sure, only every 5 days, but over the course of the number of plate appearances, he easily outdistances a guy like Jose Altuve.
I like that.
Easily
ammo.
Outdistances him.
Paul, you're next up here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Paul.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
I just want to talk about Sale a little more. I don't know. It's kind of funny that, even when it comes to Cy, people are still talking about, whether guys like Corey Kluber or Luis Severino even, really, provide competition for the Cy. And, you look at Baseball Reference, and obviously Sale is the Triple Crown right now. So, most traditionalists would probably say, whether it's a hitter or a pitcher, you get the Triple Crown, you probably deserve your respective award, Cy or MVP. But, the fact that they want to talk about Kluber, it's really not even a competition. It's Sale's 1A, and you see guys like Severino, maybe even Chris Archer, guys like that are kind of the 1B to Chris Sale's 1A. And, your point about the plate appearance is kind of cool. I really didn't even think about it from that aspect, but it's just so convincing that if the season ends today, Sale's your guy for the Cy. It's just kind of ridiculous that they try to create debate where there just seriously is none.
Yeah, Paul, the Cy to me is the lock. It's the MVP that's the concern because he should have that as well. I mean, what you got last night and mostly what you've got this year outside of that, and there's been a couple of ugly games, White Sox earlier last week against Cleveland, but he is human. But it's a clinic night after night. It's Pedro-esque. It's the best pitcher, at least in my lifetime, that I've seen in a Red Sox uniform since Pedro Martinez. With apologies to John Lester and Curt Schilling and Josh Beckett, we're all great. But these guys, those two, Sale, Pedro, they're special. David on this in South Boston. What's up, David?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
I'm just here to contradict the other bartender that just called in. If he thinks more people are coming in to see Sale pitch, I don't know what bar he's working at. And I think the only reason that people like you didn't miss a Pedro game is because he was way more fun to watch because he was striking out juice heads like, Barry Bonds, people like Mark McGuire. He's striking out these people on steroids when the game was way more fun to watch.
Well, he was like a little dog with a big bark, Pedro Martinez, and that was part of the fun of watching him. You never knew if he was going to end up starting a brawl, too. David, I take it do you work somewhere in Southie, and it's just like no buzz?
Yeah, no buzz at all. I mean, it's mostly because it's a 1-0 game most of the time he's pitching, too. So
yeah,
no one's really paying attention. They just know he's going to go out there, do his job, and I'm not going to argue he is one of the best pitchers I've seen in a Red Sox uniform in a long time. I also have another point. I just want to know, with Petey and Hanley coming back, is there any other positions that we can throw Nunez and Devers at to keep them going, or are we just going to drop them?
David, good question, because it's a little bit of a different look at in the Red Sox lineup tonight. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, because I didn't have time to pull it up here, but I'm going off the top of my head here, Marshall. I know Eduardo Nunez is playing third base tonight.
He's playing third base. Brock Holt is at second. Both Rafael Devers and Dustin Pedroia sitting out tonight. Okay. Andy Ramirez is back.
So it was another 0-for for Devers last night. I think he's 3 of his last 18 or something like that. So, okay, maybe the rookie's starting to show that he's green a little bit. Sit him down, get him right. Dustin Pedroia, I don't want, as of right now, I don't want him playing every night. And I certainly don't want him in the field every night because the knee is going to continue to be an issue. You're going left to right. You know, he's a little dirt dog. He's going to want to make the plays. So I don't want him putting you know, extra torque on that knee every single night. You need to save him for the playoffs and hopefully a playoff run. So yeah, Nunez, look, they touted him as for his versatility when they made the move. Didn't even mention the fact that he was an All-Star last year, but yeah, you know, the extremely versatile Eduardo Nunez. Got ourselves a guy that can play just about anything. I thought you'd see him more at shortstop, considering, as mentioned by Jimmy Stewart, Xander Bogaerts had been in a slump here for quite some time, or most of July. So third base, play him there tonight. You need the bat in the lineup. Hanley comes back. Good, I guess. You know, you do need the bat for the pop
213 there. Since the break for Hanley.
Hanley, yeah. No, I know. He's a mess, too. But, yeah, Nunez, versatile. Third base tonight. So there you go. Getting caught up here with the Hub headlines with Marshall Hook. We come back... The Red Sox rolled out their new-look uniforms. Actually, every team did this today, the nickname uniforms for Players Weekend that will be taking place at the end of this month. Some interesting ones there, specifically David Price's. We'll touch on that. And an update on Jerry Remy right after the Hub headlines here. Jim Murray filling in for Tony Mazza and the Baseball Reporters. It's 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub. From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
You're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Red Sox wrap up this two-game set in Tampa tonight with Rick Porcello on the mound. Again, in case you didn't hear in the last segment, there is no Dustin Pedroia in the lineup, no Rafael Devers as well, but still have Eduardo Nunez leading off, which I guess you could maybe question. He was, you know, he's continued to perform, did last night too, but top of the lineup, when you maybe need him towards the back ass of the lineup where, you know, you're more apt to plate some runs. But still, I can't knock John Farrell for switching things up right now with some of these guys, which, you know, they needed and need some of the, they certainly need to get these guys going, like Xander Bogaerts, Hanley Ramirez, who's back in there. The other thing that popped up with the Red Sox and throughout Major League Baseball today is the jerseys for the Players Weekend, which takes place at the end of this month. Red Sox unveiled theirs. You can check them out on the Red Sox Twitter feed, Facebook, or just go to RedSox.com, and we put these out. And I've just been inundated since the beginning of the day when this thing popped up about the David Price nickname jersey, which we'll get to in a minute. But most of them, you know, self-explanatory. Dustin Pedroia's Laser Show, Andrew Benintendi, Benny, Mookie Betts is just strictly Mookie, Xander Bogaerts is simply X, Doug Fister's Fist. It would be better if he just had the emoji of the fist in the air, or I would go for Twisted Fister. Stickman for Chris Sale. Aesthetically, I understand it. He is a twig. I thought there'd be something better there. But the David Price one, I question as to whether or not he's just maybe like in on the whole thing at this point. Because he went with Astro's dad, Astro, the dog.
Oh, my adorable dog, Astro.
Astro's dad. I don't even know if we're going to even see him wear the thing outside of the dugout, because who knows if he's even going to be back by then. But going with Astro's dad, he is the gift that keeps on giving. Michael in Walpole has a thought on this. Go ahead, Michael. Michael. Well, Michael in Walpole is gone. Said he wanted to talk about the David Price jersey. Apparently, that was it. I've already covered it. But it's just, man, like, for as much as this guy keeps stepping in it in terms of how he handled everything with the Dennis Eckersley situation, how thin-skinned he's been, Astro's dad, I get it. You love the dog. Go with something else. Go with, like, DP for your initials. Astro's dad. You're just, like I said, you're playing into the bit. The other thing Red Sox related wanted to touch on, in case you didn't see, Jerry Remy announced that cancer, of course, returned to his lungs after he battled the disease going back about 5-6 years ago. He had an update on his health today, said he's still recovering from the lung cancer surgery he had in June, will soon enter the next stage of his cancer treatment, met with his doctors, will start chemotherapy treatments late this month. I've had some difficult challenges in front of me, but I plan to keep fighting this thing. I'd like to thank everybody for their many thoughts and prayers and continued support. So
He's in the thick of it there, and obviously all the best to Jerry Remy, but it does sound like he won't return for the remainder of this season. Will in Burlington wants to weigh in on the Chris Sale topic from earlier. What's up, Will?
Good afternoon, guys, and I can give you a comparable to another sport as to why Chris Sale will not win the MVP, and also I'll throw in a dog joke. So if you try to think of having a pitcher win the MVP, to me it's similar to a defensive player winning the MVP in the NFL. And if you think about the few guys that were actually considered for that, you know, like J.J. Watt, Ray Lewis, if you go back to LT, it's because their individual performances and their persona really elevated the level of team around them. It was like, you know, they latched on to that. The collective narrative and mentality of the team that Chris Sale is dragging behind him is too open and widely known for that narrative to take hold for him to get that. I mean, I use the metaphor of he's basically a dog walker dragging behind him a bunch of 15-year-old dogs, a little leader who's like a Boston Terrier in Pedroia, and then Astros death.
So what, you're almost saying that he's not a big enough personality to win it?
I don't know if it's a personality side. I mean, for me, his personality matches up with his pitching style. So I don't, it's not like a bravado type of thing that I think requires that. It's, in his case, it's the team around him. There's not enough of those personalities that can meet that compete level. Generally, I'm a huge Pedro fan. I went to one of the best Red Sox games I went to was a 1-0 loss of a Schilling versus Pedro when he was back with the Diamondbacks. And you could see, you could feel the tension, you could see the jump in all the players on both sides because they didn't want to be the guy that wasn't going to make a play to win that game. And every time Pedro went up, it brought that. He doesn't have a team around it where they can respond from his unbelievable ability. I mean, you can hear this guy's breaking balls when he throws them. It's unbelievable. I just love watching him play. But you don't see that, man, we can't mess it up tonight because we're around him. Whereas someone like, as much as I hate the Ravens as a Steelers fan, Ray Lewis, those guys would run through walls if he told them to because he set that standard. Unfortunately, he has a bunch of mutts behind him and he's dragging them by the leash.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just look with the BBWA, it's as analytical a group as you're going to get. I'm sure, yes, bias is going to come in if they feel a certain way about a player. But Chris Sale not getting an MVP vote because of personality or lack thereof, I don't buy that at all. I don't think that has anything to do with it. They're going to look at the stats, and what they're ultimately going to hold against him probably is the fact that he's not a position player because they do it time and time again. You did have Justin Verlander win it in 2011, and Clayton Kershaw won it for the National League in 2014. So it has happened somewhat recently, but in this case, I think what's ultimately going to end up happening here, and I'm getting people in trouble for something that won't happen for a couple of months, but it feels like
it's going to happen.
Yeah, if Jose Altuve continues to have the season he has, or Mike Trout, now back from injury, continues to be Mike Trout, he'll get votes too, and Sale's going to end up getting screwed here. But to say that there's like maybe a lack of personality with Sale, like what you got last night. Well, I think he had the mentality of, okay, he came into that game pissed off. You knew you were going to get that. You were going to get Chris Sale at his best last night, at least I thought. And he, you know, that paid off in spades because he goes out last week against Cleveland, gets shelled, and, you know, felt bad about it based on some of the comments that he had after that game. And I was like, okay, you know, I had to have the offense and everybody else pick me up this last time. But the next time, oh, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make the offense that I'm going up against look like a complete bunch of fools. And he did. And he threw a gem. He was filthy last night. That's attitude. You're not going to get Pedro Martinez type attitude, but you do get attitude with Chris Sale. I love it. I think we collectively underappreciate this guy, except for like the hardcore baseball junkies with this pitcher right now. I thought it was going to be more Buzz Marshall. I really did. I know we'll never go back to the late 90s, early aughts. I think, you know, the first World Series in 2004 changed everything anyway. But I don't know. I thought there was going to be more buzz for this guy. Have you made it any point to make sure you went to a Chris Sale start yet?
I've not. I've not made that a point because I picked my games way ahead of the time. And so I just kind of hope. Like, every time I've gone, it's, well, I hope Chris Sale's pitching. Even before Pedro, I used to always miss Roger Clemens by a day. I'd either be the day before or the day after Roger Clemens, and that's the way I felt with Chris Sale so far. I'm always missing him by a day or two.
Go to Jeff in the car. Wants to talk about Andrew Benintendi. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Murray, is it just me, or does Andrew Benintendi remind you of Marty McFly on steroids?
He reminds me more of who's the kid with the hair in Stranger Things. I don't know if you happen to watch that Netflix series. He kind of looks like Steve in Stranger Things, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just asking it.
All right, well, good call.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Jeff in Norwood wants to talk about the Red Sox 7-game winning streak. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. So just to the comment you were just making about going to see Chris Sale games, I've had the benefit of seeing him about pitch 5 or 6 times live this year, and it's been fantastic. But if we remember, prior to last night's start, he at Fenway had delivered probably his worst start as a Red Sox pitcher, and luckily the team came back. I was at that game. It was probably one of the most entertaining, maybe not the best baseball games I've ever been to, but definitely one of the most entertaining with the walk-off. That's what this team had really been lacking up to that point, was some fight, some personality. And I remember hearing the next day everyone saying that's the sort of win that could potentially propel a team, that could give them that edge that they need. And it was a matter of what did the Red Sox do after that win. And they've done exactly what I think they need to do. They've gone on to win 7 games in a row. You know, hopefully, I think it's 6 now. Hopefully, it'll turn into 7. But that was a huge game, and it all started with that start.
Jeff, look, and I was one of those people, and it's a good call, and it's 7 games. They're looking to win their 8th tonight as they wrap up this quick little 2-game series in Tampa with the Rays. And as Maz is wont to do, I quickly got kind of shot down by him, because that next day I was like, okay, that was a game. That's as exciting a regular season game, going back to last Tuesday's walk-off when the Vasquez 3-run bomb to center. Most exciting regular season game I could remember since it immediately popped in my head, the 2004 season, where I remember the end of July, like July 23rd, 24th, or whatever it was, and it was the game against the Yankees, and Jason Varitek smashing his catcher's mitt into A-Rod's face, and everyone's all amped up, like, yeah, F you, A-Rod, and saying all kinds of terrible things to your television. God, that was fun. And they come back, and Bill Miller hits the walk-off against Mariano Rivera. And I was like, okay, that was the spark game, because all of a sudden they were basically unstoppable, and they ride that all the way to the World Series after being down to the Yankees. As Maz quickly corrected me, after that game, the next 10 games, Red Sox went 5-5. They really didn't catch fire on Marshall for a few more weeks until maybe the second week of August. So I stood corrected there, and I was looking at that season through rose-colored glasses. I can understand that. It was fantastic. So I was like, okay, I'll temper my expectations after that great win last Tuesday and the Vasquez walk-off. But they've rattled off 6 straight after that, looking for 8 tonight in this now 7-game winning streak. So there is something to it. You know, I wasn't all that impressed with the 4-game sweep of the White Sox. They did exactly what they did to one of the dregs, one of the true terrible teams, if not the most terrible team in Major League Baseball. Kind of found it a little bit, just concerning that they had to go to extras to win one of those games on Friday night and get the Mitch Moreland walk-off. But hey, they're doing what they should do against bad teams. And they should, in theory, win tonight with Rick Porcello on the mound against Jake Odorizzi, who's occasionally, well, you know, it's Jake Odorizzi. He's just he's just another guy. So I would think that the Red Sox will be able to continue to get this going tonight. You get Hanley Ramirez back in the lineup, so hopefully get some pop there. We also get, looking at this lineup again, Rafael Devers sits. Eduardo Nunez again goes to third base. Brock Holt moves over to second. So they've been doing what they should do against bad teams. Feels like they're riding the hot hand. And all I needed was this week. Let's see how you look against the Yankees. We're 6-3. Yeah, 6-3 against them this year. The Yankees have been reeling as well. And then I'll buy in. I still look at the lineup. I have some concerns. Feels like a collection of singles hitters to me, outside of a couple of guys. And Devers, you knew, was going to come back down to earth. This Nunez thing is probably not going to be sustainable, so I still have my questions. But they get through that. They take 2 of 3 from the Yankees. Okay, I'm in. Yeah, they'll take the division. We'll go to Ryan in New Hampshire as a thought on Chris Sale, who we most have been talking about tonight here in the Baseball Reporters. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Real quick, just wanted to say something about Chris Sale. I have a buddy that goes to BC, and he was in the locker room after that last start. And after Chris Sale came into the locker room, he completely obliterated one of the water coolers with a baseball bat and smashed into a million pieces. I just wanted to talk about how none of the other Red Sox pitchers, especially obviously David Price, has any kind of fire attitude. So it's exactly what the Sox needed, especially coming off a big win like that. I'll let you guys talk about it.
Well, You know, I don't know if that's a true story, but I'll take your word for it because I like the story. So.
Even if that isn't a true story, I think we know that Chris Sale has fire, right?
Well,
we know that.
Yeah, he didn't like the whole uniform thing last year, wasn't comfortable with him, so he slashed him with scissors.
That's a different kind of fire, but fire nonetheless. He also, I believe, plunks more batters than anybody else in baseball, or at least in the American League.
Oh, what's the, do you know those statistics?
I can find those statistics. I think he led the league 2 years in a row, but let me dig that up.
Good. I like a guy that pitches with a little hate.
And he doesn't walk a lot of guys. And when you have that combination of plunking guys while not walking guys, then you know that it's not a problem about location.
Chris in Southie wants to talk. Chris Sale. Hello, Chris.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys take any stock in Chris Sale pitching to Vasquez in that last Indian start. Because I know for most of the season he pitches to Leon, so I was wondering if you have any take on that.
Sure. You know, that was one of the things the next day. I asked Maz, obviously someone who covered the game. I thought maybe too much was being made about that because that was the first start of the year that Sale was using Vasquez, or they had to use Vasquez behind the plate because Leon was dealing with some kind of knee issue. And it was Sale's worst start of the year. And Maz said, yeah, in terms of a comfort level, you know, pitchers have their guys. And it was Vasquez's first start, so that probably factored in. So, yeah, I do. I'm taking Maz's word on that, a guy that certainly knows a hell of a lot more about the game than I ever will and has covered, covered it professionally, where I was just been a fat fan most of my life.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.